Hey everybody, it's Michael. Just wanted to talk a little bit today about electric vehicles and lithium ion batteries. So if you follow AM radio hosts or political pundits, what you'll notice is a lot of negative commentary on lithium ion batteries, specifically in relation to EV cars. Some of the negativity you'll hear says, "Oh, all those EV cars are ending up in the landfill. It's a terrible investment. EV cars are horrible." And so I'm in the lithium ion business. This is my career. It's not a hobby. So as an industry expert, I'm going to share some cool stuff with you so you can separate fact from fiction. So let's jump right into it. So before we get into the lithium batteries that cars use, let's take a look at other lithium ion batteries you use because, well, and I'll back up for a second. This whole debate didn't exist 2 or 3 years ago, and that's an absolute fact. So, outside of very small circles of like environmentalists, so nobody cared about EV cars in terms of lithium ion production or its impact on the environment until the TV told them to get angry about it. Why did this happen? It's easy to trace back to some high-profile Twitter posts. So a bunch of crazy greenies got together and said, "Mandatory EV cars, we're gonna outlaw petroleum cars." And this was a big push all over Europe, and Americans started echoing that. So as a knee-jerk reaction, some conservative voices with very little research and very little expertise. Remember, your favorite conservative pundit's probably a great guy, but he's not an expert on everything. And some of those guys really need to sit down and sit out a few rounds when they don't know what they're talking about and they don't even bother to bring a real expert in to the discussion. So just to clarify, there is no real debate among engineering folks. There is no real debate in the EV space. EV cars are better in every category, except for one or two. The one or two categories where EVs are not better currently is long distance driving that's defined as more than 200 or 300 miles at a time in a day. And they're not better at heavy load long haul driving. That's it. So before you get all angry and say, "Well, yeah, I'd like to see your road trip on an EV car," I get it. We get it. That's always been well understood. That's not an argument. And remember, an exception to the rule does not disprove a rule. Here's the reality. We have to look at a macro level before we get down to the granular level. Most people don't do huge road trips very often. Most people are not highly specialized drivers like an 18-wheeler, someone who drives cars for 8 to 10 hours a day or more every day. Almost everybody, and I mean almost everybody, drives 20, 30, 40 miles a day. That is representative of 80% of the population. So any EV car could well take care of that. So maybe you live out in the country. Maybe you're like me. I drive sometimes 100 to 150 miles a day. Even so, an EV car would be perfect for me because I can plug it in at home. There are charging stations being opened every day, and most EV cars can be plugged in or adapted to a standard 110-wall outlet, which is, guess what, almost everywhere. Hotels, you can find accommodations if you're creative and you're willing to try. But most people have more than one car in their household. In fact, the average American family has 2 or 3 cars. So if you added an EV and that was just your commuter to work, that was your grocery go-getter, replacing the Toyota Corolla or the Ford Focus type of niche of the market, that's 80% of consumers. So EVs can solve some really big problems. They're really good. They're incredibly reliable. And the mining of lithium is one of the most common elements in the world. It's not that big of a deal. It's not. And first of all, I want to stop and say, since when did people start caring about the planet? That's the weird thing. Like, I'm going to definitely question the sincerity of most of my critics when they've never said a word about the environment until just now, right when this debate happened. And I would say the same thing to the trans cult or to, LGBT folks that push for this genocide that isn't happening against them. None of them really went crazy about this until the TV told them to go crazy. You can look back 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, very clear delineations in time when all of a sudden they all went crazy about the same topic at the same time because the TV told them to. So we cannot be that way. Don't be, and I'll tell you what, those guys have more in common with Mitch McConnell, who has more in common with Nancy Pelosi, who has more in common with the most bloated, fat, lazy establishment Republicans, the rhinos. They are not your friend. They do not care about you. They do not appreciate or represent you. And I hope you know that by now. It's weird how people overall mistrust Congress elected officials, but they really love their favorite elected official. Oh, my guy's not a crook, but the rest of them are. So let's pause though. You may have some arguments or you may have some things you want to mention, but let's think about lithium ion batteries that you use. You use a phone, laptops, you use drills like a Ryobi drill from Home Depot. That's a lithium ion battery. You know, you can get a better drill. You can get a plug-in drill that is attached to the wall. It's stronger. It's more powerful. It's going to go forever if you want it to, but that limits you. You're still stuck to the wall. And so almost everybody has switched to a battery powered drill. And that's just one example. Most power tools now are very popular, more popular as a hand tool that's cordless. This is lithium ion technology. They work. Yes, it's true. They don't do everything for everyone, but let's get away from that for a second. There's something called a logical fallacy, the perfect solution fallacy or the Nirvana fallacy. And it's this stupid logic and reasoning that you can have that says, well, you didn't solve every problem I've ever had, so I reject your solution. Well, that's, again, not helpful. Sometimes it's good to have a solution that's good enough. In fact, a good solution today can be better than a perfect solution tomorrow when you just need the job done. So don't have that knee-jerk reaction to the crazy progressives who want to stop all fossil fuel. That's dumb. They're not going to succeed. It's absurd. So let's not be absurd and insane on the other end of the spectrum. You take guys like Elon Musk. Do you really think he's stupid? Now, I want you to answer that. You're going to look me in the eye and tell me you're so much smarter than him and you figured out things that he didn't because the AM radio DJ that you listen to hates lithium batteries only in cars. He doesn't hate it in the phone he uses or the power tools he uses. But yeah, so guys like Elon Musk, they are not stupid. They are world leaders at engineering and physics and the things they do. So I use him as an example, but he's making a killing. He's the only profitable automotive maker right now. All the other major manufacturers are losing money. We could talk about this a lot. The lithium technology is getting better every day. Guys, that actually matters, that it's a newer technology that is constantly improving. You know, your car or truck or SUV, it's based on 1800s technology. An internal combustion engine has been around for ages. That doesn't make it bad, but there is a limit to what you can push out of standard petroleum-fueled engines and diesel engines. Some argue we peaked in the 1960s and 70s with muscle cars, but they do get a little bit better every year in some regards, not all regards, but we are reaching a wall, a ceiling. We're hitting a wall, so to speak. New technology is supposed to be better. Right now, the fastest sports cars are EVs. They have to have their own category in racing. And yes, I understand they have limitations. You're not going to drive 400 miles today in a budget EV. But again, it's the logical fallacy. You don't have to solve every problem. The problem we need to solve is most people go into the grocery store. So we can really get down on that in a second. But, you know, most people are using lithium-ion batteries in plenty of applications, and they're fine. They're good enough. They're getting better. And, you know, there's always going to be specialized tools that are required for highly specialized tasks. But for simple, light to medium duty stuff, almost everybody's using lithium-ion, or like in my industry, we're using a lot of lithium iron phosphate for solar panel battery backup. By the way, the newer ones do not explode. They do not catch fire. They're overcoming a lot of these engineering hurdles. They're just getting better all the time. So take a chainsaw, for example. Almost everybody does not use a 24-inch steel, you know, chainsaw for 8 hours a day. That's the timber industry. You're not in the timber industry. Almost none of you are. I've hired those types of people for projects on my farm, and they come in and they work all day for several days. They do not use battery-powered chainsaws. Now look at everybody else. Most people who go to Home Depot and buy a chainsaw or, you know, a specialty shop, they're going to use it for an hour or two on a Saturday afternoon, once or twice a month in the summer when it's warm weather. Let's be honest, that's what almost everybody does almost all the time. That matters. So the popularity of electric chainsaws is tremendous. It's growing all the time. People love it. And did you know that a lot of professional arborists use battery-powered chainsaws? That's right. Professional tree trimmers. Why do they do it? Because it doesn't have a carburetor. It doesn't have fuel to leak all over their pants. It doesn't have an air filter to break down. It doesn't have an oil filter. It is quiet. And in a residential neighborhood, yes, that really does matter. They don't have a pull start. Could you imagine doing a pull start on a chainsaw when you're up on a ladder 40 foot in the air on a big oak tree? Yeah, that really does matter. That's why the trends are changing. So be okay with that. Trends are changing. You don't have to die on this hill. You don't have to agree with everything the TV or the radio tells you. And I know you know that. We're just really reminding ourselves right now. So they're easier to use. That is a big deal. Yes, that really does matter for most people. You might be a tough guy who enjoys all of the complexity that comes from your big lawnmower and the choke and the throttle and the oil to gas mixture and all that stuff. Maybe you enjoy that, but almost nobody else does. You are in the minority by a healthy, huge margin. So let's go back to your favorite politician said EV cars are terrible because of lithium batteries. And that's simply not true. I'm glad your favorite politician finally decided to care about saving the planet, but he has most likely spent his entire career ignoring waste and pollution. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about your favorite guy, because a battery for a car can be 1,000 pounds, 1,200 pounds, depending on how big of an EV you have or smaller. Those batteries are going to last more than 10 to 15 years in a lot of cases. I had a Prius battery last 18 years. And after 18 years, it simply needed to be refurbished. That means they took it out, they replaced the cells that were dead with new cells, and it went right back into service. That's not a big deal. And that's 18 years of useful life. That was a 50 mile per gallon car that would have been a 25 mile gallon per car otherwise. That really does matter. So let's look at how you're wasting stuff right now. Beer cans, soda cans, water bottles, whatever, plastic straws, all that stuff adds up. The amount of waste that you produce just from, you know, something like that is 10x, by orders of magnitude, more wasteful than your EV car. You buy, you know, one or two EV cars, they can last for years. And heck, people are constantly buying new cars anyway. That's extremely wasteful. So we're in a very wasteful society. We have a very wasteful lifestyle. Things are built to be broken. They're built to spill. Built-in obsolescence is a major problem. Tesla, they're not built that way. They're built to last a long time. So we are addressing some of the biggest problems. So we need to give credit where credit is due. So two things. We need a more affordable EV car. We need like a simple, you remember those old Honda Civics or Toyota Corollas from the early 90s and late 80s? So simple, easy to fix, easy to work on, not a lot of computer parts. Now, fast forward today, the average new car is something like 45, 50 grand. It's got a bunch of stupid features that you don't care about. It's fully loaded because that's where Detroit makes most of their profit margin on the little extras. That's where the dealership makes most of their profit margin. So it's easy to understand this. But it's a problem across the industry. It's not just, so Tesla didn't start it. He's offering premium cars because that's what the market is demanding right now. That's what most people are, he's competing against Cadillac, Chevy, Ford, you know, all these big brands that are offering premium vehicles. So he's going toe-to-toe with them and he's beating them at their own game. So next, you know, I hope we know by now, politicians are universally dishonest. You know, you have to know that by now. If you don't know that, man, this video is not going to help you. And they're especially dishonest when it comes to fighting each other. They tend to hate whatever their opponent supports, and that doesn't help. Like we said, we're an incredibly wasteful society. But let's talk about the specifics. I want to do a side-by-side comparison. An EV car has two moving parts. Your regular car, your truck, car, SUV has 10,000 moving parts. 50 of those could break down very easily in the first 5 or 6 years. That's typical. Nobody on TV right now is talking about the environmental impact of recycling spark plugs. Well, guess what? Nobody recycles spark plugs. Belts, hoses, fans, transmission fluid, oil, the extensive process of refining and mining oil. You think that matters? You have to calculate that. So we've got now one lithium ion battery. We've got 50 parts on the other end of the spectrum. So many moving parts. Internal combustion engine, lots of breakables. It's very hard to work on. Again, if you're the guy who can work on a car, you're the exception to the rule. Most people cannot easily fix a car because a standard car is very complex. An EV car, again, not the most complicated ones, a simple EV car can be very easy to work on, a direct drive motor. It's obvious, it's easy to learn, easy to fix, easy to start. It's going to break down a lot less. Very few problems, very few moving parts, very little maintenance. You can plug it in at night. You can put solar panels on your house to plug it in. So you, there you go. You're off grid. You got solar panels, you got a car battery, and that same car battery can back up your home. So you can charge it during the day with solar panels. You can battery back up your house in case the power goes out with your car. This is a next level. You should be excited about this. I am, and it's just getting better. So don't jump on the bandwagon, guys. Your politicians are brain dead idiots, and I love you, and I love them. I'm not trying to be mean or disrespect them. They're intentionally malicious. They're not helpful. They're a part of the problem, a big part of the problem. And so it's easier to fool people than to convince them they've been fooled. And we'll wrap up here in a minute, but just understand that some people, you guys have been fooled, and it's okay. You know, take your lumps. We've all kind of been brainwashed a little bit, but look, guys, like we said, we'll just quick summary. EV cars are not perfect for road trips. No one ever said they were. You don't take road trips very often. If you have an 18-wheeler, you're not listening to this anyway, because you're going to keep using your 18-wheeler because that's the highly specialized tool for your specialized job. If you're hauling a huge heavy load, guys, those are it. We named our two exceptions, but everybody else, almost all the time, you should not be forced to buy an EV. You should not be compelled to do it by heavy tax burdens or anything. But since most of us don't drive a lot every day, and most EVs have a pretty good capacity, not much range anxiety anymore. It's perfect for the lifestyle of most people. Getting groceries, going to work, going to school. You know, when you go on that road trip once or twice a year, you probably already have another car. You could probably borrow a car. You could probably rent a car. These are all options. Use another car. And that's the thing. We don't have one magic bullet. EVs are not going to solve everybody's problems. The environmentalists, the people who are crazy, you know they're crazy. So when they say they want to get rid of all petroleum cars and go to all EVs, you already knew they were a crazy person. Just ignore them and come at them with this kind of research. What I'm showing you, the facts, the engineering, the very obvious side-by-side math. So we've talked about that, highly specialized tasks. You know, I love my electric chainsaw. I use it all the time. My gas-powered chainsaw is currently broken. It's in the shop once in a while. It's a pain in the butt. It's nice too, but I'm more and more using my electric chainsaw because I'm not a full-time forestry worker. I have 21 acres of land, and it's still good enough for most little projects. If I have a bigger project, I probably am going to hire in a forestry crew anyway because they're better than me, bigger and stronger, and they can do the high-risky work that I will while I'm here in my office. So, plenty of EV cars. There are plenty of EV cars out there to choose from. Did you know your politicians? And wow, this is the mind-blowing part. Your politicians have caused this problem. We cannot import a lot of brands of EVs that are popular in other places. There are cars coming out of India that are air-powered, air-pressure-powered. I mean, yeah, a huge tank can be pressurized air, and it can drive around. It's amazing. Hydrogen fuel cells, which charge electric batteries, they're getting better and better. But again, we're not able to import cheap, low-cost EV cars. When people do import them anyway, it's almost impossible to get license and registration. That's a monopoly. That's a scam. So, think about these things. It all matters. Your politicians are the ones who do not allow us to import more automotive choices. In conclusion, electric cars are a great option for most people most of the time. That's wonderful. They're better for the environment in every meaningful way. They're easier to fix. They don't break down very often. They're more energy efficient. They will only get better and cheaper over time. And if you're looking for a new car, I recommend considering, an electric car or a hybrid. If you are not looking for a new car, that's even better. Use the one you've got. You can reduce your consumption by reusing things, using things longer. It's our constant need to consume shiny new things all the time. That's a bigger part of the problem. That's worse than lithium mining. So drive your old car a little longer, take care of it better, don't care about what other people think, and be more thankful for the abundant blessings you have. That's all I've got for today. Oh, one more thing. My name is Michael Miller. I am the owner of Carolina Off-Grid Solar. And if you would like to look into solar panels for your home with battery backup or a microgrid system, I can help you. I'm nationwide. I'm in most states, and I've got a great network of installers that I work with. We're going to give you an awesome price. We've got great financing. For most people, you will save a ton of money. Solar is a good investment. It's a safe haven asset. It'll protect you, and it'll pay for itself, you know, more than once usually. So have a great day. That's all we've got for now. And I look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.